Be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you.
Jesus said to his disciples, "In praying, do not babble like the pagans, who think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them. Your Father knows what you need before you ask him. This is how you are to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, just as we have forgiven those who have trespassed against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. If you forgive others their transgressions, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you do not forgive others, neither will your Father forgive your transgressions." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
We are now 192 days into the 349-day Extraordinary Jubilee of Mercy, which is meant to influence everything the Church does, as well as flavor everything we as individual Catholics do in our piety. And today we can look at what Jesus teaches us about prayer through the prism of mercy. The very fact that we're able to pray, that we have a God who listens to us like a father, is already an incredible sign of how God has literally a heart for the poor. Misericor, from which we get that word mercy. But in the seven petitions Jesus describes for us, we see the development of God who is rich in mercy. And we also see the means by which he wants us to become like him, precisely through the communion we have with him in prayer. It's interesting that when Jesus gave a gloss on one of those seven requests he put on our lips to bring us into greater communion with the Father, that the one he specified was particularly the one of mercy. If you forgive others their transgressions, your heavenly Father will have mercy on you. But if you have a heart closed to mercy toward others, neither will your heavenly Father forgive you. And sometimes when we hear that, we can think, well, then God the Father is going to punish us if we don't forgive others. That's not what Jesus is describing. Jesus is describing that unless we have a heart that's open toward mercy toward others, we don't have a heart that can receive God's mercy. It's not that God's withholding mercy, it's we can't receive it. Pope Francis has a beautiful medical image to describe this. He says that the human heart has both a systolic and a diastolic movement, one that receives blood and the other that pumps blood out. And unless both of those actions are happening, the heart is dead and the person is dead. Likewise, for us, we need to receive the mercy of God and then pump it outward, pay that great grace forward. And so when Jesus teaches us how to pray, he teaches us to look toward our Father who is rich in mercy, receive his gift, and then flip it over and begin to become like the Father in the way we treat others. I hope we've all had a chance in our time to study the structure of the Our Father, because Jesus does more than give us seven random things that he asks us to request. But he gives us, as St. Thomas Aquinas said many centuries ago, a real order of what we should be seeking. Jesus teaches us to turn to the Father and first focus on him, not on ourselves. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be not my name, but your name. Not my kingdom come, but your kingdom come. Not my will be done, but your will be done, just as the saints continue to do in heaven. Jesus has us focus on the Father's name and the glory of that name, the Father's kingdom, and the Father's will. And we know that all three of those involve mercy. That the Father is most glorified when we become like Him, merciful like the Father. That we enter into the kingdom of God, which is a kingdom of mercy, precisely by receiving His gift and then extending it. And we know what His will is, that we forgive others 70 times, 7 times, just as He has forgiven us. So we begin by focusing on God, seeing His will, His kingdom, His glory is all caught up in mercy. And then we begin to ask for our needs. We begin by saying, give us today our daily bread. We turn to a providential Father who always cares for our needs. We see Jesus in the Gospel, when He looked with compassion on the crowds, literally His bowels were busting with mercy, is what St. Matthew uses in his Greek. And what does He do? He begins to feed them. That's where the multiplication of loaves and fish came. The Lord continues to look on us with merciful love, and He continues to feed us every day. And Jesus wants us to depend on that daily mercy of the Lord. We don't ask, give us for our entire life all that we'll ever need. Each day we go to the Lord because each day He responds. Most of us here have never gone a day without that mercy. But there's something even deeper there about the Lord's mercy. When we look at the Greek of the Our Father, which is the language that we have, St. Matthew's Gospel, the word there for daily is epiousios, literally supersubstantial. And the great fathers and doctors of the church have said this refers to the mercy God gives us and the bread that goes beyond our material needs, the living bread come down from heaven, the true manna, Jesus Christ Himself in the Eucharist, given for us in the upper room and on the cross for the remission of our sins. This is the merciful response to our prayer, Lord, give us this bread always. This is the definitive response of God to our petition in the Our Father. Then we ask Him to forgive us just as we have forgiven others, to give us a heart that is able to forgive others the same way that He never ceases to forgive us. And that's easier said than done. It's easy when we accidentally bump into somebody and we apologize, but it's quite difficult when somebody has really deeply hurt us. But Jesus helps us in a parable to remember that whatever anybody has done against us is the equivalent of 100 days' wages, whereas what we've done against Him is the equivalent of 10,000 talents, which is 60 million days' wages. And so if He can be so rich in mercy toward us, then we find that wealth to be able to forgive others. And then the last two petitions, don't lead us into temptation, because you know how weak we are, but strengthen us, don't let us fall when we are tempted. Be at our side, help us pass those tests, to unite each of those circumstances with You, and deliver us from the evil one. Deliver us from the one who prowls like a roaring lion seeking to devour us, seeking to separate us from You. Mercifully free us from those clutches. Give us the enmity You have for the devil, and the mother You chose for Your Son, and He from the cross chose for us, had for the devil. Give us a triumph over sin by the gift of Your mercy. In this prayer we call the Lord's Prayer, He is teaching us how to relate to His Father, who always mercifies us, to use Pope Francis's neologism, so that we can in turn mercify others. Today, as we come forward to celebrate this great gift in which the Lord sustains us both materially and supernaturally, we thank Him for the gift of His mercy. We ask Him to help us, like He helped Elijah and Elisha in the first reading, to do His will, to enter into His kingdom, and to glorify His name by behaving in a way that will remind others we meet of the mercy of God that we have all so graciously received. Praise be Jesus Christ.